Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And my last question for you, excuse me, will be, I don't know how to introduce that to you, but like in a sense, like we've been speaking a lot about like players, and there's obviously this even more pronounced nowadays, the gap between big three, the old guard and the new guard who are coming, who are trying to get there and have gotten real close, but haven't really exactly pushed all the way. Isvere probably was the one who got the closest to being the most, you know, he beat Rafa Nadal and Djokovic and Federer in ATP Masters as well. So he was the big hope back in 2018-ish, and then he had a little bit of a slump. And now we're just looking at Medvedev again. But, like, with everyone considered, everyone in the draw considered, Djokovic, Nadal as well, who is this tournament most important to?
That's a great question.
In this tournament, you mean? Yeah. Just looking at only Monte Carlo?
Just Monte Carlo. And you can look at it in whatever way you want to. It can be clay court season. It can be for the future as well.
A name that came out jumped right off the top of my head. I said Tsitsipas, because I've seen how much he's proven on the clay, but I've also seen now that he's lost so many big finals, and he's lost to all the great players. You know, all the top seven players have beaten him in finals of 500s and 1000s. So if he can just get that monkey off his back, you know, if he can just win a Masters title now, because I think he's there. He's in that caliber where he should be able to win one now. If at least one this year, he should be able to get. And so if he can, and a 500, and the question is just, can he peak at the right time? Can he peak? Because when he hits his peak, and when he sustains it for a set or set and a half or two sets, it's a really high peak. So I just want him to sustain that and be, you know, just the mental side of his game. He's just missing a little bit. And if he can just get that little bit, you know, and just close out these matches and just, you know, play that way under pressure and just block everything out and perform and have a deep run. He doesn't even have to win the title for me. He can get to the final and lose to Nadal. He can, you know, have one big win. But I think it just cements him even more as one of those guys. And I think then eventually those matches will turn your way. And so he's just got to put himself in that position, I think, over and over, and then it will happen, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's a good shout. I think also if he could win a Masters 1000 on clay, he'd do that before team, which would be a statement.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that he is at that level. it feels a little odd that he doesn't have one yet, so this would be a great time for him to have one. The first name that popped into my head was Medvedev, just because I feel like he's made a lot of strides recently. And this will sort of, like, more generally recently, not in the immediate past few tournaments, but so I think this could be an indication as to how he's progressing on clay, if at all. If he has a good run, maybe people can be optimistic for how he'll do at the French. If not, could be another few years or possibly never that he adapts to the surface. I think it's pretty big for Felix, because I feel like he's stagnated a little bit in the last while. And I think it's also big for, so I had another name in my head. What was I going to say? I completely forgot who else I thought it was big for. So maybe Medvedev I would go with. What do you think, Andre?
Yeah, I guess in terms of big for results in general, I would definitely say Tsitsipas as well. I definitely have to agree with Vansh here. I think Tsitsipas is one of those guys who kind of like deserves to be in the top 10, but is still like lacking that big run, the big result, the big win, that big trophy that he needs to have.
Big trophy,
So like, I feel like Monte Carlo is a really good stepping stone, even though Nadal has sort of dominated this for like the past 15 years or so. But like, regardless, other people have won there as well. And I think it would be really a great time for Tsitsipas, especially since we have seen how good he can be on clay. It would be really interesting for him, not only in his career in general, but just for this current clay season. Who knows what can happen if he wins in Monte Carlo? He could suddenly he could go on and win Madrid as well, or something like that. You know, he could go on and make a deep run in quarterfinals, semifinals again in Roland Garros, make the final for once. And it'd be really interesting to see that, like, in the tournament wise, to hold the trophy. I would say Tsitsipas for a personal level achievement, and just kind of like just leaving this tournament with a sense of a mission accomplished, I would say Medvedev. I think he needs to win until at least he gets to Nadal. If he can face Nadal and lose Nadal, there's no shame in that.
No shame in that.
Yep. There's nobody needs to be ashamed of losing to Nadal on clay. Even if you're called Novak Djokovic, it doesn't matter. So I feel like for Medvedev, especially to establish himself as world number two, and now that the hard court season is over, he needs to kind of like, he doesn't need to prove himself to anyone in LA, just because rankings are a little bit difficult. But if he wants to say, hey, listen, I'm the second best player in the world right now, even if I'm not beating the best of clay, I'm losing exclusively to him or to the guys who are better than me on clay, but I'm not losing to anybody else. So like, this, I feel like this would be like a great moment for him to like get his crap together, get his head around the... let me just rephrase that. Just, it'd be a really good moment for him to get his game together on clay and just play well and win a couple matches and just develop a little bit in this clay court season to have a good clay court season. Even if he goes out without any titles, have a good clay court season.
Yeah, I think that's really, really well said. I could get behind the trophy being more important for Tsitsipas and just a good result being more important for Medvedev. I think that was really insightful what you said about him losing to the people above him, because that could dispel the impression that even though he's number two, he won't really be relevant again until hard court season. I would agree with you guys on that.
And the other thing is just who is going to be willing to suffer more, who will the transition from Miami be harder for, and how will they cope with the wind, how will they cope with the rain delays, will everybody be, you know, is Djokovic going to be able to dig in when he's down a set and a break? I look for those kind of things as well, just long-term, you know, just to keep an eye out for.
Or like, even if Nadal is flat, if he goes down a set to like Schwartzman or something, will he be able to fight back, which he wasn't able to do in Rome last year? Things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And Djokovic and Nadal will be playing again in Barcelona, which is like playing in Barcelona. Djokovic will be playing in Belgrade, which is a 250. His brother is the tournament director there, so it's kind of interesting. If he finds himself in a tough spot against Zverev or Tsitsipas, or even gets there, assuming he gets through Sinner, and that would be another good test. See where is Sinner at in his game. How does he match up against Djokovic right now? Who they kind of play similar styles, so it's like who will, you know. Will that even be as competitive as we hope it is? And then it's like, you know, if he finds himself in a third set against Zverev and Tsitsipas, will he be willing to dig in and suffer? Because at the ATP finals, he was not willing to do that. Yes. When he was down a set against Medvedev, for him now it's mostly about the majors, right? And then it's like the next week he's playing in his hometown, and does he, you know, I mean, and how much will that mean to him, a 250 on clay in Belgrade versus a Masters? But I guess, you know, if he were to win Monte Carlo, right, then he would be one Masters away from a triple Masters. Right. And Federer and Nadal haven't even done one, you know, all around, and he would have done three around the circle. So it's something to keep an eye on.
It's a good point about Belgrade, because I think Djokovic has not played very well in Monte Carlo the last few times he's been there. Since 2015, I think he hasn't done great.
Yeah.
And I think he lost to Jiří Veselý in 2016. Or was that at Rome? Yeah, yeah. So then 2017, lost to Goffin. 2018, lost to Thiem, I think. And then 2019, he lost to Medvedev 6-2 in the third.
Right.
So I think if he is losing, like down a set in a break or in a third set, knowing that if he loses, he'll probably be on the next flight to his hometown, that might have something to do with his mindset. So I think it will be interesting to see how he handles adversity as well.
Yeah.
Particularly if he's not playing his best.
Yeah. In terms of just to finalize my thoughts in this question, I don't think it's that important for Djokovic or Nadal, really, because I really think that for them, is obviously they're incredibly established players. And for Nadal and Djokovic and Federer especially, it would just be like just another Masters 1000 in a sense. Obviously, it's not like it's any tournament for them. They do know the importance and they do want to win. But I think that if they go home without a trophy, they're just going to look at the other ones that they have and just be like, hey, that was a good tournament for me. I'm just going to look forward to Roland Garros, which is where the obvious focus lies on those guys right now. Nadal, he wants to defend his title. He doesn't want anybody else to get near Roland Garros' title, especially Djokovic. And Djokovic wants to get the opposite of that. And I guess... That will cover it, and hopefully we get most of a tournament in Monte Carlo if rain allows us to have some. And who knows, maybe at some point all tournaments will be required to have a roof in order to operate. I don't know.
That we need the pandemic to go away, and we need tournaments to get more money, and
we need a 25-year super avid like on the economy so that we can have some of that.
Maybe our first eventual crowdfunding campaign can be get Monte Carlo a roof.
Yeah. Can you imagine Monte Carlo just goes on Kickstarter requesting a roof?
It'd be a start.
Well, it was really good to talk to you guys about the Monte Carlo. I'm excited to see the tournament if it happens. Hopefully, as I said, rain allows it to happen, and we'll be in touch with you guys. It'll always be on Twitter. We'll be chatting a lot. And for all of those who are there, if you like this episode, you can rate us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, I think. That's the actual proper name of the platform. And tell your friends if you like us. You can share your stuff with your friends. And follow us on Twitter at Tennis and Bagels. And Owen is at Tennis Nation. Vansh is at VanshVTK. And I actually don't remember. Rolenberg Andre. I changed my handle, so that's why sometimes I forget. It's there, and we'll be doing this every week. We have some good plans for this podcast. We just need to sit together and actually discuss this thing like good grown adults have to. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.